We have a good number this morning. I'm very grateful for the fact that all of you are here today. Grateful for the opportunity that we have to study together a portion of God's Word, and hopeful that these things will be beneficial to you as we discuss them. You have heard it, I suppose, that things like the people here at Westside, that they think they're better than other people, that's not so. That individuals at Westside, they sin like everyone else. They're a bunch of hypocrites. You hear that said about just about any religious group. Individuals who are interested in serving God and who take time to be among God's people, to worship. We're not perfect by any means. And so it's very typical that the charge of hypocrisy against Christians is routinely heard today. We would raise objections to that, that enemies of faith, they seek to discredit the gospel of Christ in our hearts and what that has done for us as Christ's disciples as we seek to live for Him. Yet we must acknowledge the fact that there are times when the charge of hypocrisy is a deserved charge. Sometimes Christians can be guilty of being hypocrites. I think it's important that we know what hypocrites are, and ensure that we are, as we seek to live for Him, not guilty of being hypocrites. And so there are a number of things that we wanted to discuss in our lesson this morning that may help us a bit. I want to start off by going to Mark, the 7th chapter, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 7. And we want to note, first of all, that our Lord Himself called some religious people, some Jewish leaders, religious leaders at that particular time, He called them hypocrites. It was because of what they were teaching, what they were demanding, and what they were excusing that He called them such. You'll notice in chapter 7, in verse 1 of Mark chapter 7, we'll go down through the 13th verse to read the entirety of this context. We are told that the Pharisees and some of the scribes had come together to Jesus, having come from Jerusalem, and when they saw some of His disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault. The Pharisees and all the Jews, they do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they don't eat unless they wash. There are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers and copper vessels and couches. The Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus, they said, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat bread with unwashed hands?" And He answered and He said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites," called them hypocrites on this occasion, "Well does Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do." And He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is a gift to God,' then you no longer let him do anything for his father or for his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do." So I want to note, especially on this particular occasion, that He called them hypocrites because of what they were doing. They're elevating their man-made traditions not only to the equality of the things of God, but they were elevating them above what God had taught. God had said that you are to care for your mother and father. And on these occasions, because the gift was Corban, they said you can't do anything for your father and mother and many other such things you do. It again is true that sometimes the charge of hypocrisy is deserved. Sometimes Christians can be guilty of hypocrisy. Want you note what a hypocrisy is, what a hypocrite is. And so we'll first go to the Greek word hypokrites, which is defined by Thayer as an actor, a stage player, a dissembler, a pretender. Whenever you think of hypocrites, look at the Pharisees. They weren't truly serving God. They were pretending to. They had elevated their own ideas, their own views of what is right above that of God, and weren't interested in what God had to say. They were only interested in doing what they thought was best to show themselves as being religious before men. And yet here, Jesus provided the evidence that exposed their sin, and of course it greatly offended them. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 11, after he had done something similar, the Pharisees were offended when they heard the saying. His disciples told him that. The Pharisees are offended. And we truly can be guilty too for this reason. And so we are told as Christians to lay aside all hypocrisies. In 1 Peter the 2nd chapter in verse 1, it's among those lust of the flesh that we are to set aside, laying aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy, all envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Laying aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy. And so it is possible for us to be hypocrites. In fact, we are told that the apostles actually warned against that happening. There are a number of ways that can be accomplished. It can be accomplished by elevating your own views of things rather than what God's Word says, and then holding others accountable for those things, elevating yourself as better than they, when in fact you are not seeking to serve God at all. But at the same time, the charge of hypocrisy can be a smokescreen. It can be used from time to time to divert attention away from a sin or some error that one is unwilling to face in his or her own life. We mentioned that, what we have heard. And it's not just the Westside Church of Christ. It is just about any group who is striving to do what the Lord says or feel themselves to be so. And so they fill the pew on Sunday. And just by filling the pew on Sunday, some will say, well, you're just a bunch of hypocrites because I know what kind of person you are. I've seen you lose your temper. I've seen you engage in some type of sin. And I would never be a shadow in the front door of that particular congregation because that's just a bunch of hypocrites who meet there. It's easier to call another individual a hypocrite whenever a Christian commits a sin instead of taking personal responsibility for your own sins, your own failings. And that's what everyone needs to do. So there's a first point that I want to make before we get into a discussion of what constitutes hypocrisy, and point this thing out, that my failings do not in any way justify your failings. Because I am not everything that I need to be, that does not automatically mean that you are okay. And that's what a lot of people actually are doing religiously today. They're cutting off their nose to spite their face. They're saying that I'm just as good as they are, so I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to be a member of any congregation. I'm not going to seek to do the Lord's will, because after all, those who claim to be doing the Lord's will, they're not perfect in what they're doing. Well, we'll assert very quickly that truly we are not perfect about what we're doing. But being a hypocrite is not the same thing as being a Christian who sins from time to time. And there are a number of passages that we look to establish that this is the case. But let's point that out first, that being a hypocrite's not the same as being a Christian who sins from time to time. We had read for us 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. I want to start with verse 6 with that statement that if we say we have fellowship with Christ, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So there is the hypocrisy. Here is an individual who says that he has fellowship with Christ, but he's walking in darkness. He's lying. That's not the case. Any who name the name of Christ, we are told, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from our sin. But then he goes on and says this, if anyone says that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. We're not talking about living a perfect life. We're talking about living a life that is characteristic of light, one who is walking in the light. If we say that we never sin, we're a liar, We may be only lying to ourselves, but we are deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. When we sin, we must confess our sins. Verse 9. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now here comes where the hypocrisy is in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, how many times have you heard someone say that? I know there is a response that is given commonly to this particular contention, that Jesus called, in effect, the righteous a bunch of hypocrites. No, that's not what He did. He called Pharisees hypocrites. That Jesus would be with worldly people if He were alive today rather than the faithful. No, that's not the case at all. That's just presuming things that actually are not so. What John says here in this particular text is we've got to try. And we're not going to get it perfect, but characteristically our walk is a walk in the light. And when we sin, we confess our sin. And as a result of that confession, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we've not sinned, we make Him a liar and the word is not in us. We're not saying that at all. Most individuals who are seeking to serve Christ will admit to the fact that they're imperfect. They go too far. They'll say, well, we're no better than anyone else. We're just imperfect individuals that are trying to serve the Lord. Understand this, that an individual who is walking in the light as Christ is in the light is walking better than an individual who is walking in darkness. That's what that text is telling us. There is a difference. And I recognize when people began talking about the sinful nature, people began talking about original sin, there are many who advocate that in effect, Christ is the one that makes the difference and we have no bearing on that at all. But that's not what the text teaches, does it? The text teaches a walk, the kind of walk that we are to strive to walk. A walk that is in the light, that is characterized by the walk of Jesus. Now that doesn't mean that we are by any means perfect, but we're trying. But you know, the hypocrite doesn't try at all. The Christian tries. He confesses his sin. He acknowledges the fact that he's not perfect, but he's doing the best that he possibly can do, and Christ will forgive him of those sins as he confesses them. But the hypocrite wants people to think that he is righteous. He feigns righteousness while he commits sin. So looking at that second point, a hypocrite pretends to be what he is not. In effect, he is indeed acting. He is being an actor. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, we are told that the individual who commits sin is committing lawlessness. That sin is lawlessness. In chapter 5 and verse 17, it says unrighteousness is sin. Here's an individual who says, I'm doing what's right. I'm serving God acceptably all the time. I'm not sinning. Look at me. Look how great I am. That's what the Pharisee did in Luke chapter 16. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, like this tax collector here. I do this, I do that, I do the other. He did not go away justified in his prayers. It was the man that said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Who went away justified for what he said. There's a difference. As Christians, we are certainly aware of the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ was that which purchased us, which redeemed us, which gives us the opportunity for heaven, that we are not capable of getting there on our own, but we strive the very best that we can, and we repent when we do wrong and we confess our sins. And we do so always, evidently, willingly, not like the hypocrite who hides it. He acts like he's righteous. He puts on the face like a hypocrite, thinking that he is something that he is not. He doesn't practice what he preaches. The faithful Christians make it their aim to conform to the image of Christ. They try their best to do what Christ would have them to do, but that's not what a hypocrite does. Think about what Jesus said about the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 3, the description that he gives of the Pharisees. He said, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but don't do according to their works, for they say and do not do. You see the difference? Difference between a man who is striving to do what is right, from time to time he falters in that effort, and the man who says, I'm always doing what the Lord wants me to do, and yet he's not. He's just talking a big game. Texans call that all hat, no cattle. There are people who are that way. They talk a big game, but they do not deliver. But in contrast, the Christian, as Romans 8 and verse 29 tells us, those that God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Not an individual who says but does not do, but one who is striving to conform to the will of Christ, the image of God's Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so it's wrong simply to cast such a wide aspersion upon religious people. That because you're religious, you are a hypocrite. Because hypocrisy is playing a part that does not aptly or rightly describe you. Pretending. Not all religious people, even those who struggle, do that. But some do. We need to be aware of it. We need to ask ourselves, is our life a life of hypocrisy? Do we have within us the guilt of spiritual pretense to say, but not actually to do? Because to say a Christian is a hypocrite just because he has sinned, just he has faltered, that's the idea that a Christian has to be sinlessly perfect or otherwise they are hypocrites. That's not what is entailed in the meaning. And that's not what Jesus meant when he said what he said in Mark chapter 7. Getting back to 1 John in the first chapter in verses 9 and 10, we are told that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. His word is not in us. Chapter 2 in verses 1 and 2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. It almost sounds contradictory, doesn't it? If we say that we are not sinners, we lie. Because everyone falters from time to time. But if we walk in the darkness, we are not like Him who is walking in the light. And that's the problem that the Pharisees had. They weren't willing to admit their sin. And they weren't walking in the light. They just wanted people to think that they are walking in the light. And so the third point that distinguishes between a hypocrite and a faithful Christian is that a hypocrite will not examine himself. We must always be willing to be examined, both examining ourselves and be willing to be examined by others as well. A faithful Christian understands the necessity of admonition. He's not concerned with being embarrassed. What he's concerned about is getting to heaven. He wants to be, in effect, saved. And so we take as an example in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the statement by the Apostle Paul that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are well known to God, and I trust are well known in your consciousness. And so we take Paul as an example. Paul was an individual who didn't live perfectly, but he strove to live for the Lord. Why? Because he knew the terror of the Lord. He knew what it was like to be an individual who was not in standing with God. He didn't care one way or the other about those things. What mattered to him is to serve God acceptably. And if it caused him embarrassment, if he needed admonition to be in that position, he was willing to accept it. All faithful Christians welcome examination and correction from others because they want to be right with God. And yet, how do you feel about that? When someone comes up to you and say, you need to stop doing that. There's something that is characteristic of your life that you really need to stop. There's a mistake that you've made that you need to make right. Do you object to that? We talked in our lesson this morning about the Pharisees and the scribes, that after he had condemned them for their hypocrisy, in that occasion there in Luke chapter 11, that's exactly what he called them, a bunch of hypocrites. And we're told that they assailed him. And they cross-examined him about many things. They were striving to find something that they could use in effect to put him away. Their idea was not, I want to be right, but I want to be perceived as right. Not only that, but I want a righteous individual to be perceived as wrong. So what mattered to them was winning. And that is characteristic of a hypocrite. And as we see that today, that is characteristic of many things that we have in our culture. One of the things that I've become aware of, especially in the seasons of politics, is that there is a great deal of partisanship that exists. And what is characteristic of a partisan is that when they are got up and they have to defend their person, whatever it is that their person does is okay and acceptable. Whatever it is that their opponent does is horrible and evil. And their motives are impure, and there is absolutely no explanation that will make sense and will accept, because they aren't interested in what's right and wrong. They're interested in winning. And unfortunately, such an attitude exists among God's people as well. We take as an example social media. And there are too many Christians who aren't concerned about what is right and what is wrong. They want to win the argument. And so they will act in an evil way. And just as long as they have the idea that people look at them and think you're right and they're wrong, that's all they want. It's not being right or wrong. It's appearing that. That's hypocrisy. That is pretense. That's what we're talking about on this particular occasion. And a faithful Christian understands the necessity of admonition. He's not concerned with that embarrassment. He only wants to be right. Faithful Christians welcome examination. They welcome correction from others because they want to be right with God. If you point out their sin, they'll thank you for it. How many times have you done that? How many of times have you expressed the temerity, the confidence, the boldness to say to someone, you need to make a change, and they told me, oh, thank you for telling me that. I needed to hear it. That's what Nathan did. You remember David? King David had been guilty of having adulterous relations with Bathsheba, so much so that to protect himself, he actually had Uriah put to death. And he was guilty of basically conspiring to murder as a result of those things. Nathan said, you are the man. What did David do? Unlike Ahab and others, David understood and recognized, appreciated the fact that that sin was brought home to him. As a psalmist later on, he cried out to God, against you and you alone have I sinned, O Lord. He understood the necessity of repentance. He understood the significance of being right with God. And a true Christian will indeed correct their sin when it's pointed out to them. But the hypocrite, that's not true. The hypocrite can't abide the scrutiny of God's word, because truth exposes the pretense of the hypocrite heart that is far from God. And so when Jesus said, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, the people draw near to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me, that they're worshiping in vain, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. He had them pegged entirely, because a hypocrite is a pretender, an actor on a stage that wants people to think him righteous. But in fact, he doesn't care about righteousness at all. He wants the aplomb and the applaud of men. That's what a hypocrite is. Now, are you a hypocrite? I want to end our time together with a text of Romans chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. Romans chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul on that occasion said, you're inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. What's the problem with judging? People take this passage and others like it and they say it's wrong to judge. No. They were inexcusable in their judgment, because in whatever they judged another, they condemned themselves. That's the problem. Why is it that you want to pull a beam out of your brother's eye, or a splinter out of your brother's eye, when there's a beam that remains in your own eye? Why do you want to have this unrighteous standard of judgment toward others that doesn't appeal to you personally? That's the problem that happens too often. And so that Jew, and I could almost hear him. In the first chapter, the Apostle Paul is giving such a strong denunciation of the pagan life, that they no longer retain God in their knowledge. God has given them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. That they are engaging those practices, or they are approving of those who practice them, and they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, but you, Jew, you, old man, are inexcusable, because you're judging them, but you're doing exactly the same thing. And that's what was hypocritical about their actions. And so let's ask that question. When we say the righteous who strive to come together on the Lord's Day, are you acting as a Christian every day of your life? When individuals see you in the life that you live for the Master, are you sharing with them the gospel of Christ? Are you practicing pure and undefiled religion, visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and keeping oneself unspotted from the world? Can they say by your demeanor, by the life that you live, by the things that you say, by how you comport and conduct yourself, by what you wear, that I am a servant of Christ, that I am walking according to life, that I'm striving to do what is right? Or do they look at you and they think to themselves, he's no different than I am? Because you're not. Are you making a pretense of being a child of God, or are you truly serving him as you should? Do you like to hear correction to ensure that you are living in a path of righteousness, walking in the light, or do you dismiss what other people have to say because I'm better at them, because look at me as compared to them? That's what the hypocrite does. And so the Jew, he says, you're inexcusable because you judge another. Whatever you judge, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. We know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Do you think this, O man, that you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same thing, that you will escape the judgment of God? It doesn't work that way. And here goes what is most important for us to acknowledge in our lesson today, and that is you can't be a hypocrite with God. Pretense requires that you have an ability to deceive others, and that's what the Pharisees had done. There were some people, like Jesus, who were able to perceive. John the Baptist called them a brood of vipers who had been warned to escape from the wrath which was to come. And so they came forward. But they were not willing to submit to the righteousness which John preached. They weren't willing to submit to the righteousness which Jesus preached, but they had their own righteousness. And they said, look at me. Look how good I am. Look, I am better than most other people. I am better than you. What the Christian does is strive to live better and acknowledge when someone tells them, you're not doing this right. I know I'm not. Thank you for telling me. I'm going to repent of that and I'm going to do better. So do not in any way conflate the concept of imperfection with hypocrisy. Jesus didn't. Jesus never claimed religious people were hypocrites because they were religious. He called them hypocrites because they claimed to be serving God when in reality they were serving themselves. It was all a pretense with them. And yes, there are religious people like that today. But you don't have to be that way. You don't have to be like this man described in Romans chapter 2 who judges other people, but you're practicing the same thing that they are. You're not going to escape that if you do. You're striving to live righteously. Even in your imperfections, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's a wonderful blessing that each of us have if indeed we're seeking to walk in the light. Are you a hypocrite? That's a good question for us to ask. It's an important question for us to ask. But I perceive that most who are righteous are just that. They're striving to live righteously and they're appreciative when someone shows them where they've done wrong. Is that you? Only you can answer that question. We're going to offer an invitation at this time and ask individuals of this number, are you living a life of pretense or are you truly serving God? If there is something that is amiss in your life that you want to make right and we can assist you in that, we will certainly pray for you and encourage you in any way that you can. Let me tell you something. If you've never become obedient to the gospel of Christ, you're not a Christian at all. No pretense to it. God requires that an individual believe in Jesus Christ. And those who are convicted must repent and be baptized in order to have their sins washed away. And that is true of every single individual who is here today. So if we can assist you in answering the invitation call, we extend the invitation to you. We do so now while together we stand, while we sing the song selected.